So we're continuing with our look, Hashem's help, at Book of Rav Shalom, Gan Emunah, Garden of Faith. Talking about here the importance of listening to the messages Hashem is trying to tell us. Turns out that a person who doesn't look for the hints that Hashem is hinting to him and doesn't consider the things that are happening to him, and which he doesn't think about which way they are guiding him or directing him, he simply is living a life of a lack of communication with the Creator. Hashem Yibarach is teaching us that. He's speaking to us. Our life is one long conversation with Hashem. But we don't realize that Hashem is speaking to us. So we're not one. He's speaking and we're not listening. Right? I'm sure you can imagine that you call your mum on the phone and she just talks and you put the phone down and you go off and do your own thing. Right? And then she's still talking. You can probably pick it up half an hour later and she's still going. Right? But it's the same idea. Hashem is talking to us all the time and we put the phone down and carried on doing our own thing and forgot, Baruch Hashem, the stuff that Hashem wants to tell us is...
He talks to you?
He talks to us. Talks to everyone. He's speaking to us right now. Speaking to you right now. Speaking to me right now.
Please then.
That's what we have to figure out. But he is speaking to us the whole time. Guiding us, directing us. The more we're aware, the more we can see it. Right? It's mida keneged mida. A person who's not looking for it is not going to see it. A person who's not interested is not going to see it either.
We don't have voices, right?
Usually not. No. Hashem doesn't speak in voices from Shemayim. He might speak in terms of an internal voice. Like, if you know what the right thing is. Should I call my sister? Yeah, I should call my sister. Right, so Hashem speaking to him and saying, yeah, call your sister. Right, keep that internal voice. So maybe if you want to stretch it to voices, but they're not like... But I have to ask the question. If I don't ask the question, I don't know the answer. If I don't ask the question, Hashem, what do you want me to do here? How can I expect to have an answer? So my job is really to ask the question. If I don't get an answer, that's his problem, that's not my problem. That's his world, he's running it. He works out everything. But I had to do my bit. Right? My bit isn't that much, relatively. But I had to do something. So my job is to ask. Because Hashem is speaking to us. And there is a plan, and there is a message. We just have to ask the question and then want to hear an answer. Right? Sometimes we're afraid of the answer because we're worried what we might find out, which is true, and it's tough. We are worried about what we might find out, but it's better to find out than to live in the dark. From heaven, they're trying to direct a person in a particular way for his own good. And he is being stubborn and going in the opposite direction. Right? I'm trying to tell you, Hashem says, this is not good for you. Every time you eat cheeseburgers, you get sick. You get a stomachache, right? I'm trying to tell you a message here, but you're ignoring it and you're stuffing your face anyway. Right? You're going in the opposite direction. Yeah, I'll have another one. Or whatever. Right?
A double.
Right? Because I'm not looking for the messages Hashem is giving me. And it's not just cheese, but it's like everything. On everything. So what happens? Another time he gets stuck. He gets hit, so to speak, or kicked. And he continues to be stubborn and to go in that way. Right? We're stubborn. Fortunately, we're stubborn. We're stubborn. The heart was stubborn a little bit. We're stubborn. And therefore, that's why a person's life passes, the years of his life pass with difficulty and with bitterness. And he's surprised at why life isn't going his way. What is going on here? Everything I try and do doesn't work. Right? Maybe because this is not what I should be doing. If it's not working, you know, wake up and smell the roses, smell the coffee, whatever they're right? Maybe Hashem is telling me this is not right, but if I'm stubborn, I'm doing it anyway, I don't care. Right? Had a friend, still got the friend, good friend. He wanted to live in a certain area of the country. Not so many from Jews in that area. It's very pretty, very beautiful area. But it's not such a great place to raise kids and stuff like that. So he got every house he tried to buy, he wanted to buy a house there, fell through, this happened, that happened, or a disaster. He was stubborn, stubborn, stubborn. Eventually he rented a place there, he's trying to buy, and can't buy anything. Right, because he's doing what he wants to do instead of perhaps listening to the messages that Hashem is saying this is not the best place for you.
So everything, no matter big or small,
yeah,
is controlled by Hashem.
Correct.
Okay.
That's it. From start to finish, from big to small. He's running the entire world.
He has enough on his plate that he wants to take care of, that he wants to watch every single...
Yeah. He doesn't have a plate like us. Like Hashem is unfathomable how Hashem can continuously, constantly look after 7 billion people. That's just the people. Never mind the birds, plants, trees, worms, flies, ants, and there's hundreds of billions of them, right? And all everything else. He's looking after continuously, constantly, every single interaction, every single movement of every single thing.
What's the universe?
What's the universe? Right. Right. For us, we can't talk, just because I can't grasp how that's possible. It's because I'm not God. I'm a limited, finite being. He's not limited. Right. So I don't have to worry about how he's doing it. Why he's doing it, because that's what he wants to do. It's his world. He created it. But yeah, he's in control of everything. Within that, I still have free choice, but then we get back to that whole free choice thing, and it's too complicated, and it's something that we can't understand. But I still know that I have free choice, and he's doing everything. That's the paradox and the paradigm I have to live with. Okay, Misha Yitakesh. So a person who is stubborn and wants to follow his lusts, yeah, they're talking about us, right? And go against Torah, they're still talking about us. Every time we look at a woman, we're following our lust and going against Torah. So he's talking about us. But vaday she'alul hu lachtof
makom. Even a Jewish woman?
Even a Jewish woman. Maybe that's even worse. Maybe it's even worse. Tov, anyway.
Why are you looking at a banana in a thought?
Impossible, thought? Impossible. Gemara, the Mishnah says.
Really?
Ayin ro'eh, va'alev chomed. The eye sees and the heart desires. It's a given.
I've been exposed to a lot of beautiful women in Hollywood, so when I look at a girl lady over here, I mean.
You're less, but it doesn't mean that you have no desire. There might be the odd one that particularly is a turn off for you, right? But generally speaking, Derech Klal, from a very young age, and we'll not even talk about it, because, right, but from a very young age to quite an old age, women are attractive, full stop. That's just human nature, right? And a person shouldn't be surprised and shouldn't tell himself that he's weird or he's different, that, right? People are getting married at 12 and 13, right? And just because we don't get married at 12 or 13 anymore doesn't mean that there wasn't relations going on between people, right, at that age. So it's not like it's big chiddush to people who are attracted in any respect to suddenly the labels of pedophilia, and they're not normal and it's weird. It's not weird. It's dafka normal. We have to try and overcome it. But that's the normal. If a person is not attracted to a woman, any woman, frankly, he's got a problem, right? The normal inbuilt response of a man is that he's attracted.
He shouldn't look at men then.
Also shouldn't look at men.
He can't look at both of them.
Well, if he can look at women, it doesn't mean anything to him. Fine, it's not a problem. It's not a problem to look at a woman, per se, except you're going against the halakha, which the rabbis tell us not to do so, because it leads to a problem. If a person, like Rabbi Arish says about himself, that he can look at a woman and it can be nothing to him. Right? He sees a piece of, he sees a wooden pole. There's no difference between a wooden pole and a woman, right? But even though he can do that, because he's now broken his Yetzer Sahara after years and years of working on it, he still doesn't do it. Not because he couldn't, but he knows, because for a start, the rabbis say it's not a good thing to do, and it's not, you shouldn't put yourself in that position, etc., etc. The reason's not to, even though it now doesn't affect him. But with us, it does affect us. So our only, right, we learned from Arash, he says the only help is not to look.
What if they're wearing such a costume and a get-up, like some of the ladies in Meshari, they wear such a interesting costume. I don't look at it because I'm like, oh, that's interesting to me.
Tov, our Yetzirah is very clever at working out all sorts of justifications for why it might be okay to look at this one or that one. This one just looks like my neighbour, this one looks like my cousin. Gosh,
no,
but the Yetzirah will give me all sorts of reasons. My wife's got a coat just like that. That's interesting. Like all sorts of reasons that allow me to look when otherwise I shouldn't be looking. Right? And so we have to be aware of that. It's not to say that we can stop it all the time, because we're stuck in the place we're stuck of until we've read this 63 times and we've done 400 hours of Ibadat, and we've got there, but we're on the path, we're not finished. So we are still stuck in all of this. But what happens is, it's not the way Hashem wants us to go. So if we carry on down that path without praying on it and without doing the best we can, so Rav Arash writes, certainly a person's likely to get a bit of a beating from Shemayim. Why? Because he's not connected at all to what Hashem wants from him, and only tries time after time to fill his lusts and his imaginations. And from the fact that he's so drawn after his own lusts, he's not prepared to listen and to pay attention or to understand that Hashem is hinting to him that this is not the good path for him to be on. Therefore, he needs to be hit in order to wake him up, to show him, to tell him that he's on the wrong path. And when a person is right, what's he saying? He's saying, generally he's saying like this: Hashem is speaking to us all the time, and we should try and listen to the messages in order that we can go on the right path. It's not to do with lust, just in everyday life. Right? Is this a good thing for me to do? Is this good? Should I stay, learn longer in Kollel? Should I go home and help my wife? Right? Questions that I have. Right? I should listen to whatever Hashem is trying to tell me. But you should know, even though that's the normal situation, when it comes to lusts, so we're sub, we're like, we can't see the wood for the trees, right? We can't see the hints, can't, right? And so the hints are no good. And because the hints are no good, because I'm not listening to any hints, I need to get smacked or hit in order to actually listen. So that's why he has to smack or hit me, because the hints in that situation are no good. I'm so stuck in my lusts that the hints are not doing it. So unless I get a smack on the back of the head, so to speak, I'm not going to realize that Hashem is trying to direct me off that path to another path. Right. But someone who is going on the path of the Torah, and they are stubborn in that they're working, they're busying themselves in Avodat Hashem according to their understanding and their ability and according to their will, right? According to each person, without looking at the messages that they're trying to send him from heaven, meaning that he's stubborn to do a specific thing, and from Shemayim they're trying to hint to him this is not his path, and he's still stubborn, and another time he falls again and he fights and he struggles. He doesn't ask what Hashem wants from him, right? Then even if he's sitting and learning Torah and he's doing mitzvahs, also he's not able to reach the purpose that he came down here for, his taklit, his shlichut in this world, and his life is also full of difficulties and suffering that's unnecessary. Right, so even it's to everyone. Anyone who's not listening to the messages Hashem sends him. Right, if I decide now that, you know what, I'm staying all day in yeshiva, I'm staying here till 5, I'm staying till 7, whatever it is, and I'm working hard, I'm not letting anything stand in my way and any prevent. Right, but that's not what they want from me in Shemayim. Shemayim want me at home helping out my wife, or Shemayim want me getting a job because I need to learn something outside the yeshiva, whatever it is, right? Then I'm going to have difficulties and troubles, whatever, because I'm not doing what he wants. I might be doing Avodat Hashem. I'm praying all day, I'm learning Torah all day, do whatever, right? But it's not my shlichut. It's not what I was sent down here for. I've got stuff to do in my neshama that needs to be done, right? And Hashem wants to direct me to do that. He doesn't want me sitting in yeshiva all day, for example. Maybe he does, right? But this is an example, right? So even if I think I'm doing something good, it could be, you're right, that's good what you're doing, but it's not what Hashem wants. And therefore I still need to listen to the hints and the messages Hashem is sending me, even if I spend my day doing things that are only good. Right? It can be handing out soup in a food kitchen, food in a soup kitchen, right? 24/7. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, but it's not what Hashem wants from me. How do I know that? Maybe it is. Maybe it's exactly what Hashem wants from me. So I have to see. If my life is not going correct, if things aren't going correct, then there's a sign that maybe there's something I need to change here. I need to start listening to the messages Hashem is sending me. Achen, therefore, without Hashem, in this book we will learn how to understand what it is that Hashem wants from us in all the paths of life that we go down, in order that everyone will merit to reach his purpose for which he was created, and especially to save himself from a lot of suffering and difficulties. And in order to merit to taste the taste of Gan Eden in his life, both in this world and all the more so in the world to come, right? That's what we want to listen to Hashem. We don't want to have a difficult life. Why are we having difficulties? Because Hashem is trying to tell me something that I'm not listening to, and he's trying to wake me up. He wants to put me on a path that's good for me, it's good for my soul, it's good for my neshama. How is he going to wake me up? So there's two options. Either I listen to the hints, and I look for the messages, and I ask him, Hashem, what do you want from me? Please show me. Please let me see. Or if I don't do that, I don't look for the hints. So finally, he's going to slap me around till I get a message. But there's no other option, right? What's the lower? There's nothing left. So if I'm having a difficult time, it's a good possibility that I'm not listening to the messages. So, without emunah, there is no reason for life, for living, because ta, I don't know if it means reason here or means taste, means good taste in life. Because at the end, all that waits. Oh no, it means no reason. No reason for living. Why? Because at the end, All that waits for him is with is without doubt that what waits for him is death. And it therefore turns out that all everything he was making an effort for and struggling for in this world, it was for nothing. Because even if he reaches and achieves that what he wanted to achieve in this world, he's not able to enjoy it for eternity, because at the end of this life he's going to die, right? And all the more so a person who doesn't know when he's going to die, and all the plans that he's making could come to nothing. And therefore, we also see that that in most cases a person takes from this, right, achieves in this world less than half of what he's trying to achieve. Like Chazal say, person doesn't die with half his desires in his hand. And we've already said, or the Asanikim already said, that people say that there's this world and the next world, meaning the world to come. Now, Rabbi Nathan said, I believe that there's a world to come. And it's possible that also this world can also be good. No, can it be possible that also this world can be considered like a world? But he says no, because it seems like, because this world seems to many people like this is Gehinnom, because everyone is full of difficulties and suffering, and therefore it's possible to say this world doesn't really, this world has no reality. So a person, what's he trying to say? A person who's basing his life on this world is losing on all accounts. He can't get this world and he can't get the world to come. Person, even if he's successful in this world, he can't achieve half of what he wants to achieve. No one achieves half of what they want. The most successful person in the world had desires for twice as much, at least. Right? So no one can ever achieve what they wanted to achieve. Person who has 200 wants 400. Person who has 400 wants 800. You can never reach, once you reach the place that you thought you wanted, you now realize that wasn't where you wanted to reach at all, and there's a whole new other place. So in this world, you can never reach where you want to reach. Not only that, anything that you do achieve disappears at the end, right? Because we're all going to die. So it turns out you can't actually, this world is illusion. You can't achieve anything in this world. It doesn't last. Even if you could achieve something, you can only achieve half of what you want to achieve. And even that doesn't last. So this world, people who go after this world, they can't get it, and also they lose the world to come. Because the world to come is based on what I did in this world. I spent my time here chasing this world and not thinking about the world to come, so I haven't got much to show for it in the world to come. So I lose this world and the next. I don't have either. Person who's going after this world has neither. Person who's going after the next world ends up the opposite. He gets the world to come, because he's going after it, he's doing Torah mitzvot, and he also gets this world, because this world starts to become sweet and pleasant, and like Gan Eden. It's happy to live in this world. So you actually do get, you get this world and the world to come. Right, which is the exact opposite of all those people, I'm sure I was one of them, my previous life, and certainly family members and whatever, who are not yet caught on to the fact that Hashem's running a shop. Right, so all those, right, who are like, what are you doing with your life? This is, you know, now's your time to go and do and achieve and be and, right, all that stuff. Right? That's the Yitzhara, but it dresses up as your mum. Whatever. But that's the voice, right? That you've got to go and, right? Right? This is it, and go out and make your mark and achieve in this world and become your feet. Sounds very nice. But it's not true. It's the opposite. if I do that, I'm going to lose this world and the world to come. This life is going to be full of bitterness, standing and don't get anything. And we all know that anyone who wants to achieve anything in this world has to literally give up their life for it. Right? You're going to have to work from sunrise till way past sunset. Right? You're never going to see your kids. You're never going to get the chance to spend any of your money. Right? All of these people, right, they don't have a chance to spend any of their money. Right? Because they're too busy trying to make it, protect it, stop it from failing. Right? They're all day at the desk, screaming at this one. Now, it's our life. Where's the life?
And they may not even have kids.
Yeah, or if they did have kids, they haven't seen them. Or for sure, they're off the derech, they hate their father because he never saw them, he never spoke to them, never tucked them into the bed, right? Never gave them a bed, I'm sorry, right? He just ruined his entire life. What for? For this imagination that the world is telling him you did good. And he looks around, everybody's telling me you did, you know, Steve Jobs, head of Apple, whatever, whoever it was, I don't take anyone, right? You achieved the greatest. You screwed up your whole life. For who? For the sake of them. Of the invisible them that says that this was the best thing you would do with your life. Yeah, but look what you did. Yeah, but look at my life. It stinks. It's a pit. It's my life and no one else's. I'm doing it for you. I did all that for you so that you could be happy and you could look up to someone who achieved something in his life. Why am I doing that? Right, in the world to come, for sure, all those people aren't there praising him. Right? He's just got he's got his own personal issues that he just messed up his wife, his kids, and his whole life. So chasing after this world I was thinking about this the other day. It's a chiddush, maybe. Mesirut nefesh. What's mesirut nefesh? Mesirut nefesh means to give up your nefesh. Right? You're giving up your nefesh for the sake of Hashem. It means to give up this world for Hashem. But really we do the opposite, like we do Mesirut Neshama. We give up our Neshama in order for this world. Instead of giving up our we've got two halves. We've got the Neshvesh Behemi, the animal side, the lust, the desires, the food, the drink, the sleeping, the eating, all that stuff. Right? That's the animal. And then we've got the angel bit, which is the Neshama, the holy bit, the one who wants to do good, the one who wants to daven, do mitzvahs, get close to Hashem. Right? So what are we meant to do? We're meant to do Mesirut Nefesh. We're meant to give up our nefesh. Our nefesh is the animal soul. We're meant to give up this, or the physicality, for the world to come. Meaning, I give up on sleeping so that I can daven in a minyan. Right? That's mesirat nefesh. I'm giving up on what my animal nefesh wants to do for Hashem. Right? I'm giving up eating cheeseburgers for Hashem. I'm giving up chasing after a career and working on Shabbos and going to the beach on Shabbos and shopping and whatever, the things that the animal part of me wants to do, the lusts and desires of this world, I'm giving up that nefesh for Hashem. But what happens is we end up doing the opposite. Mesirut Neshama. I give up my neshama in order to feed the animal soul. So instead of getting out of bed, I give up on my davening in order to stay in bed. I mesirat my neshama. I give up my neshama for this world. People are giving up their neshama for this world, right, left, and center. That's what the secular world does. Gives up its neshama, mesirat neshama, for this world. In order to get a bigger house, a better job, a bigger car, more money in the bank, more status. In order to get all of those things, I need to give up Torah, mitzvahs, kashrut, holiness.
No decision.
The world works that way.
No, it's not true.
Show me otherwise.
I mean, I think of the community I came from, Baltimore, Maryland, is a very strong, vibrant, successful Orthodox Jewish community.
Right.
Most of the guys there went to yeshiva for the last number of years.
Right.
Before they took a profession on, because Near Israel Yeshiva says it's important to be able to have a parnasa in today's world.
Right.
Most of the guys are not going to study being Talmidei Chacham.
Okay. Right.
And so you want to be able to provide for your families.
So then it's a holy endeavor. Then I'm doing it for holy reasons.
Yeah. Pardon?
Then I'm doing it for holy reasons.
They're
not. If I'm doing it to provide Parnassus for my family, then I'm doing it for holy reasons. Okay. It's a mitzvah. It's a big mitzvah to provide Parnassus. A person, a Jew, has to do that for his wife. It's got to be a good reason why he's not, if he's not. Right? So it's a mitzvah to do that. So then I am giving up in order to do a mitzvah. Right? If I have to go out to work, I have to give up what I want to do. Which is also Mesirat Nefesh. Right? If I have to leave the yeshiva and go and get a job, that's also Mesirat Nefesh. Right? I have to give up what I want, give up what, because I would prefer to just be sitting here drinking coffee and listening to Torah Shirim all day. It's much easier.
You can't do that?
Not if I need to go and get a job. No. Right? So I have to do Mesirat Nefesh to do that. Right? So again, there's always a fight between the animal side and the holy side. And Tov, I think we've come to the 3:00, so we'll Bezat Hashem carry on tomorrow.